talked for a couple minutes about warming doors. I had a chance to speak to some of the post-Kumran Yeshiva. I did not get a chance to speak to everyone. So just lay out some of the opinions. But I really want to start today with sort of the fundamental issue in HaChazara. That's something we've touched on in the past. In past Chabur too, we had a chance to talk about different halacha maisa aspects. But to talk today about what's the svar of HaChazara. There is, as we make reference to the past, as it seems to be like a major machlokas harishon between Ashkenaz and Sfaradin to what's the rationale for the Isur of HaChazara. HaChazara is an Isur of Rabbanan. Why did Chazal forbid it? So we know the Gemara tells us that Shehiyah, to leave the food on for four Shabbos without Grufa Ketuma, that's, the Gemara is explicit, that's Asur Mishum Shemi Yechat Begachal. We're worried you'll poke around the coals. Poke around the coals, it's a Goran Krisis, it's a Havara, maybe it's also Kibui. You point out the coals sometimes when you poke around, and if the food isn't cooked yet, so then it's going to be obviously a poke around the coals will be a problem with Bishul. And that Eish HaTamana is directly or indirectly also a concern of Shem Yechat Begachal, or that you may wrap it in, instead of just wrapping it in something else, maybe end up wrapping it in hot ash and hot coals, and that in turn can lead to Shem Yechat Begachal. So Shehiyah is a concern of Shem Yechat, HaTamana indirectly, a concern of Shem Yechat Begachal. How about HaChazara? Why is it them forbidden to put the food back on Shabbos? Unless they fulfill all the conditions. So the Baal HaTosfos says that too, Shem Yechat Begachal. It's the same issue, all three, Shem Yechat Begachal. Why do you may end up adjusting the fire?
In the process of putting it back, or once
you put it back? Once I put it back, so now we're going to be Mechat Begachal. Now the Chachmei Sfar disagree, the Rif Rambam, Rambam Beis Midrasho, and the major kasha against the approach of Baal HaTosfos, the major kasha in support of the Sfaradim, is how could you tell me that HaChazara is Aser for the same reason that Shehiyah is Aser? If it's merely Shem Yechat Begachalim, why doesn't the solution that works by Shehiyah work by HaChazara? And as Shehiyah is absolutely mutter as long as Grufa Ketuma. We spoke about that. Rashba has the Chumra, but Nikra Din, you can put any food, according to Rashba, almost any food, on the fire. Certainly, if it's already kamachal ben drusah, even the Rashba agrees. Even according to Chacham, you can put it on the fire as long as it's grufa ketuma, and grufa ketuma solves your problems. You're worried about shehiyah, but if it's grufa ketuma, there's no problem shehiyah whatsoever. Chayyan and Chacham argue when you need that solution, but whenever there is an issur shehiyah, grufa ketuma solves it. So if grufa ketuma solves that, we understand why there's a hecker there. And if I'm gonna, if in the moment I think, oh, you know, it's not hot enough, let me raise the heat, there's something there to remind me, no, you can't do that. Either the coals are gone, nothing to touch, or the coal that Ron says, grufa, the coals are moved to the side, so I'll dip it into the oven and notice, oh, the coals are in a different place, or they're covered. They're covered, the ketuma. So if grufa ketuma is a valid hecker that solves the concern that a person in a moment of forgetfulness or weakness may seek to adjust the fire in Shabbos, so that's all the problem of Shem Yechat Begachal by Shehiyah, why doesn't it solve it by HaChazara? If that's what led the Chachmei Svara to say, it's obviously not Shem Yechat. What is it? It must be something more. Even if it is Grufa Ketuma, or to put the question differently, before we see what the Chachmei Svara say and then how Rabbi Natan respond, but just to sharpen the kasha on Baal HaTosfos, why isn't Nesina Mechadosh mutter on Grufa Ketuma?
Why isn't
Nesina Mechadosh? Why can't I take food out of the refrigerator and put on the blech? They said I can put on the blech from before Shabbos, because since there's a blech, we're not worried Shem Yechat Begachal, so I put it on Shabbos. And we only allow it when it's a hemshuk from before, when you saw the Yodai Tahak, so who needs it? Take it out, why can't I take food out of the fridge and just put it straight on the blech? Put it straight on the Grufa Ketuma, because Grufa Ketuma will remind me Shalom L'chatos. Same way it reminds me if I put on Erev Shabbos, it reminds me if I put on Erev Shabbos. It's Grufa Ketuma. And why isn't the Sinai Mechadosh mutter with the Grufa Ketuma the same way that Shehiyah is mutter with the Grufa Ketuma? So that leads Chachmei Svara to say, Shem Yechat is not the answer to everything. Shem Yechatzer explains why he can't do Shehiya, and also explains why Shehiya with a Gruf of Tuma is Mutter. But Hachazara must be something else. So what's Hachazara? They say Hachazara must be, you can't put it on the fire, Gruf of Tuma, not Gruf of Tuma, I may not take food out of the fridge and just stick it on the fire. Why? Well, what do you mean? You put it on the fire. Put it on the fire, it's Bishol. Ah, you say, Bishol. Ain't Bishol Acha Bishol, it's Zereni Mavushol. It's dry food, Zereni Mavushol. So essentially, the Chacham Yisrael say, yes, Min HaTorah, but not always Min Rabbanan. And although it's true that this does that to take fully cooked food, certainly dry, fully cooked food, and put it back on a heat source, so Shabbos Min HaTorah, it's not Bishol. In other areas of Halacha, it's not Bishol. It wouldn't be Bishol, presumably, if you forgot this, because it wouldn't be Bishol, presumably, by Basa B'Challa. But Midrabanan, we say sometimes that's going to be Aser, that's a violation of Bishol Midrabanan. To take fully cooked dry food and put it on the fire would be a violation of Bishol Midrabanan. And the language that they use is Mechzi Kimavashal. Achzara is Aser, but it's Mechzi Kimavashal. Reshech and others point out Mechzi Kimavashal probably does not mean it's a Maris. I am a Bishol. It probably means that it's similar to Bishol, and therefore a Malacha Drabanan. But even though the Chazal did forbid a Bishol Acha Bishol Midrabanan, but that is already only Asr under more narrow circumstances, as we've discussed, all the cases in Achazar is Mutter. To do Bishol on the radiator, raw food on the radiator, where it's only Samuch, that's Asr, but to be Somech on... Let's leave that for now. Because that's actually not so pasha. But let's say to do it in a way that Oda Biyado, the Daito Lahachazir, as Grufa Ktuma, the Oda Biyado, the Daito Lahachazir, if it's going to be a hemsheikh of the previous Bishol, so then we say that's not so much Mexican Bishol. I don't see that as an active Bishol. You just continue what's going on before. That Chazal didn't forbid. But Chazal forbade a fresh act of quasi Bishol on Shabbos. That's Aser Midrabanan. So that is the approach of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, the Balei Tosos. It's Shem Yechatzer B'Kalam, but it's problematic. And Chachmei Sfarad disagree. The Chachmei Sfarad say, no, it's a type of a Bishol Drabanan. Now, there is a teretz to this kasha. Some Rachronim point out, if you look in Rabbeinu Tam's Sefer, he answers this question. Rabbeinu Tam wrote a Sefer, aside from Tosos, they're not really written by Rabbeinu Tam. They were written over the course of well over a century by Talmidim of Rabbeinu Tam and Grand Talmidim and Great Grand Talmidim, beginning with the Ri, Rabbeinu Tam's nephew and his greatest French Talmud. Rabbeinu Tam wrote a separate Sefer, which pieces of which appear in Tosfos, or maybe more precisely, many of the pieces of ideas Rabbeinu Tam has in his Sefer become the core of countless Tosfos in throughout Shas. The Sefer is called Sefer Yashar. The Sefer Yashar, Rabbeinu Tam takes on this kasha and he gives a teretz. He says, no, I will explain. Let me explain to you why it makes perfect sense that Hachazara, like Shehiya, is a concern of Shem Yechata, and yet, unlike Shehiya, Hachazara is Aser even if it's a Gruf of Ktuma. And why is that? This is very pashut. It's a very simple, practical explanation. The act of Shehiyah takes place in Erev Shabbos. The act of Hachazara takes place, obviously, on Shabbos. Now, the Isser of Shehiyah is only, once it's on the fire on Shabbos. But the act of Shehiyah takes place Erev Shabbos. This is, I'm putting the food on the fire Erev Shabbos, so I can adjust the fire at the time. I put it on, I adjust the fire, I'm good. There is a possibility that the fire may flicker later on, or maybe I underestimated what I need. There's a chance of Shem Yechata, but the chance that Shehiyah will lead to Shem Yechata is pretty slim. Because I had the chance to adjust the fire beheter on Erev Shabbos when I put the food on. So I was able to control the situation. There's a chance I'll need to adjust it later, but that's slim. But HaChazara is very different. I'm putting the food on Shabbos. So it's a much greater chance that I walk over to the stove and I put the food. I'm not happy with the way the fire is. Or maybe I'm okay with it now, but I'm not going to be happy in 10 minutes from now. So that's why that's why Thomas says it is Shami Yechata. It's a much greater concern of Shami Yechata. Because you don't have control, you're not controlling your environment at the beginning. I mean, if you thought about, as I'm putting the food on the fire Shabbos morning, if I have thought about it Friday afternoon, I need to have the fire ready for Shabbos morning, maybe I made some adjustments. Okay, and maybe not. And even if I did, I made adjustments, you know, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday morning, now it's 10 o'clock in the morning, I made adjustments at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday afternoon, and now it's 10 o'clock in the morning, Shabbos morning, a lot may have gone awry. Much more might have gone awry. HaChazar also tends to be will more frequently be for Shabbos day than Shehiyah is, although Shehiyah could also be for Shabbos day, it could be the Chant. But either way, the act of HaChazara I have heightened awareness to the fire when I put the food on Shabbos. So I'm much more likely to end up being drawn to do chitoy. So Ibn Tam says it's a much greater concern of either Gemara mentions chitoy by Shehiyah, it's actually less of a concern of chitoy by Shehiyah than there is by HaChazar. So by Shehiyah, a heker is already enough. But the heker of Gemara Ketubah, that's already enough. But by HaChazar, Chazal were not satisfied with the Gemara Ketubah because there's a much greater chance you're going to need to do it. There may be greater urgency also, because Shehiyah you're doing from way before. The HaChazar, the main much you put on now, you may need it soon. HaChazar, there is more likely need to do a chitoy. It's more likely to be a greater urgency to do a chitoy. So all around, with a much greater concern, and that concern is too large to be solved by merely Grufa Ketubah. So that's the solution of Ibn Tam. So now we understand both approaches. We understand the approach of Ibn Tam and the Baliatosis that follow him, that it's a concern of Shami Yechata. It's a greater concern, actually, than the one that the Gemara mentions about Shehiyah. But fundamentally, it's the same thing. Whereas Chacham Yisrael would say, no, this is entirely a different creature. HaChazara is a concern, is a quasi-bishul. Unless you can make it a hemshech to the previous times on the fire, to put things on mechadash is a quasi-bishul. It's a bishul midrabanan. Whereas Shehiyah is merely a gzeira shema yichat b'gichal. Now, l'may nafkamina, there seems to be at least two major nafkaminas between these two approaches. One of them has to do with the question of violating HaChazara passively. You see, there is a mitzvah next year in the Halacha Bekiyas, Mishnah Berurah, that have the chance to begin the year to focus on the end of Chelek Gimel, and hopefully one of the topics of focus will be Amir Lo-Nachri. So Amir Lo-Nachri, but a little bit about Amir Lo-Akam. A couple moments about Amir Lo-Akam. Amir Lo-Akam is the name of an Isser Midrabban. Sometimes people make a mistake and think Amir Lo-Akam is the name of a Heter Midrabban. Amir Lo-Akam is Aser. That's important to realize. But not Minat Torah, I'm not allowed to do Malacha. Perhaps Minat Torah, I cannot ask a Ger Toshav to do Malacha. That might be an Isser Daraisa, that's Michal seems to say, or a violation of an Asay Daraisa. But to ask a typical non-Jew to do malacha on my behalf on Shabbos is mutter min ha-Torah and aser midrabanan. Mishnayis and Masech HaShabbos is forbidden. To ask a Nachri to do malacha on my behalf, it's also forbidden, even if I did not ask him, to benefit from malacha the Nachri did on my behalf or on behalf of other Jews or Jews in general. Okay. So it is an Isser Midrabanan. However, Chazal did build in several heterim into the system. There are four or five or six heterim that Chazal built in to when they originally created the Isra of Amir Lo-Nachri, Heim Amr Veheim Amr, they built in a variety of heterim. That's why there are many cases where I cannot do malach myself, but I can ask a Nachri. That's why sometimes in people's minds, I think Amir Lo-Nachri is always mutter. The default is Amir Lo-Nachri is aser, but there are a number of grounds to allow Amir Lo-Nachri. One of those is, are we allowed, for instance, are we allowed Amir Lo-Nachri L'Tzorech Chola She'en Bo Sakana? If you have someone who's a Chola She'esh Bo Sakana, if there's a Safik Nefesh, you're allowed to do Chil Shabbos D'Raisa. I'm allowed to drive I'm allowed to do it. Yeah, as a matter of fact, exactly. You're supposed to make a point to this that people should never, we're always concerned that people should not hesitate to do the right thing. People should not hesitate to be Mechal Shabbos in order to save someone's life or to even have the chance of saving someone's life. So that's right, that's right. That's why the halacha demands that in the case of, many times the halacha demands someone needs to do Chil Shabbos, should dafka be the bit of the rabbi. The bigger Talmud Chacham, the adult, the bigger Talmud Chacham should do the Chil Shabbos if some Jew or another needs to do the Chil Shabbos, so that it's clear that there's not time to hesitate that. In a case where you can safely have a nachri do it, let's say there's no, where the doctor says, I need to get to the hospital in the next 4 hours. There's no rush. You have 4 hours to get there before he's worried about, let's say, infection setting in an open wound. So we don't have 4 hours, with more than 4 hours to the end of Shabbos, so we need to get to the hospital. But in that case, if there's time, plenty of time, so then why not call a non-Jewish cab service or a non-Jewish Uber instead of having a Jew drive to the hospital? But if you need a Jew to drive, so then we would insist that we should do it begadol. Number one, an adult. Number two, the bigger talmud chacham. Okay. But if it's a cholosh ein bo sakana, no one's life is in danger. No one's life is even possibly in danger, but someone's sick. Fellow has a flu. He's a bad earache. He's in bed. It's cholosh ein bo sakana. So there's no pikuach nefesh. There's no concern to life. There is no heter for a Jew to violate melacha Shabbos d'oraisa. However, a Jew may ask a non-Jew to do an act of melacha Shabbos d'oraisa on behalf of the cholosh ein bo sakana. You can ask the non-Jew to cook soup for the cholah. You can ask the non-Jew to turn the lights for the cholah, turn off the lights for the cholah, whatever. Lachtar cholosh ein bo sakana. Either to avoid getting into a situation of cholosh ein bo sakana. That's why, if you're concerned that the house is too cold and people may get sick. That's a language that the post can have. Hakol cholim etzel hatzina. Everyone's considered to be a potential cholim when it comes to cold. If it's going to be too cold, people are run the risk of really getting sick. So then you can ask a nachri to turn on the heat, so that no one becomes a cholosh ein bo sakana. Or if someone already is a cholosh ein bo sakana and has particular needs. Needs medicine, needs whatever it is. You can ask a nachri to please take care of it, even if that involves malacha deres. Okay, that's one example of a heter in the iser of amir l'nachri. Another heter in the iser of amir l'nachri is shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. That is also subject to some machlokas rishonim. I read the gemara about the hot water for the milah. Lamasa, we assume that in a case of a tzorech mitzvah, we would not allow asking a nachri to do a malacha deraisa in order to enable me to do a mitzvah, but we would allow asking a nachri to do a drabanan on behalf in order to enable mitzvah. In other words, something that for me, if I were to do it myself, I mean, it's a drabanan, so I cannot do it for the tzorech mitzvah, but I can ask a nachri. It's called shvus to shvus. It's drabanan by drabanan. It's double drabanan, because to begin with the act is this drabanan, and then I'm only asking a nachri to do it, I'm going to do it myself. It's a double drabanan. It's not mutter to do a shvus to shvus normally, but the tzorech mitzvah it is. So what's an example? Let's say you misset the Shabbos clock in your sukkah. It comes the first time sukkahs, you come back from the shul, the lights are out. All the lights are out in the sukkah. Pitch black. In theory, you might be, let's say, I say you'll bring candles in. Shabbos. Can't bring candles in. So what are you going to do? So it would be possible, maybe, to eat in the dark. It would definitely take away very significantly from my own Shabbos, Simchas Yontif, to have the whole Suda in the dark. First night of Sukkot, Shabbos, Friday night. That would be clearly a genuinely, authentically significant impact on Onik Shabbos Simchas Yontif. So it depends what type of lights I have in my sukkah. If you have incandescent bulbs, I'm asked for me to turn on Melacha D'oraisa, so I cannot ask a nachri to do it. But if I have fluorescent, so I have LEDs, for me to do it would be in a drabanan. To ask a nachri to do this is drabanan, shvus to shvus, makom mitzvah, that is mutter. Okay, now. The Maharit says, Shuas Maharit, he's quoted where? Shuas Maharit is quoted, I think by the Shari Tshuva, maybe, on the page of Shulchan Aruch, on the page of Mishnah Berurah, The Maharit says, so let's say I realized that I didn't put the food in the fire before Shabbos. I was in a rush before Shabbos. I left something off the fire. What am I going to do? I could be somech, kedera gav kedera. It's not going to help. I don't have a kedera. Let's say I don't have a kedera to put on top of. Or a kedera gav kedera is not going to get it warm enough. To be somech is not going to get it warm enough. So what am I going to do? I don't have a platen. I don't have an adjustable warming plate. Or I follow Rav Pesach Frank. I'm not allowed to put it on the wall. The plata only helps for Shahir and Afachazar. So what are we going to do? So the Maharit says, look, to have, no hot food at the Shabbos Suda, that's a significant decrease in your own Shabbos. So he says, you can ask an Achari to put the food in the fire. You can't do it yourself. That would be an instant dry bottom, but it's only an instant dry to put the food in the fire. It's fully cooked. It's dry. It's not a violation of Bishul Daraisa to put it on the fire. It's Isra Rabbanon HaChazara. So Isra Rabbanon, you can't do Isra Rabbanon, but to ask a Nachri to do Isra Rabbanon, Shmosu Shmosu Vaka Mitzvah, Gevaldik. You cannot do this every week. Shmosu Shmosu is very important. Shmosu 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 is that Shmosu Shmosu is an emergency heter. I mean, it's Lutzorech. So if every once in a while, despite your best efforts to organize a situation, you just end it up, this is what you need. So let's say it comes up with elevators. To use an elevator, so to ask to operate an elevator on Shabbos is presumably Isra Rabbanon. This is a incandescent bulb that goes on. Okay, it's an old fashioned elevator. The incandescent bulbs are going on because you're pressing buttons. That might be more for the rest. But usually it says Isra Rabbanon. Okay, I'm not allowed to assume Isra Rabbanon. But let's say to ask a Nachri. I'm going to ask a Nachri to operate the elevator, to press the button in the elevator for me. I live on I need to get to the 25th floor, so to have to walk 25 flights up, that would be quite that's a legitimate dent in my Onik Shabbos, especially if I'm not in great shape. If I am in great shape, maybe that's exciting. But if I'm not in great shape, that's really going to, the guy is going to be, is going to need 20 minutes just to recover when he gets up to his apartment. Okay, so that's a legitimate. It's a legitimate dent in my own Shabbos. All the guests are going to lie down in bed for 20 minutes. So that's a legitimate dent in my own Shabbos. However, that's Shus HaShus HaVaka Mitzvah if it happens every once in a while. I end up once for a Shabbos on the 25th floor. But to buy an apartment on the 25th floor with the assumption that I'm going to rely every single week on Shus HaShus HaVaka Mitzvah, that's an inappropriate application. So it's just about Kabbalah. So what you can do in that situation is hop in the elevator with whoever's going in, and whatever he presses, and he'll say, he may not go to my floor, but he'll be near my floor. So at least I say 20 flights. Now, then you still have to figure out, are you worried about your weight impacting, and my impression is that in many modern elevators, Shabbos elevators, the main chop of a Shabbos elevator is that it stops at every floor, so you don't need to press any buttons, with the additional piece that someone looked into how the mechanics of it work, but I think it's usually assumed that in most modern elevators, chances are that you, especially if so, you walk in with someone else, the chances are that you're not making a direct impact on the electrical input to the elevator. So that's why I believe many posts would be comfortable when you're stuck. You're going to go in, but on the other hand, some elevators don't work that way, right? And number two, you can get yourself into trouble when the guy insists on the guy that the fellow you walked in with is a really nice guy. You walked in with Christopher, very fine non-Jewish fellow in the building. And he says, let me press a button for you. He says, no, don't forget, wherever you're going. Says, no, it's not a big deal. He doesn't understand that you would rather not tell him. He thinks that you just don't want to bother him. Says, it's not a big deal. Tell him which floor you're going to. That's going to get a little awkward. Or if you live in the building, and the fellow knows where you live, he says, oh, Yanko, all right, 25th floor, right? Boom. He just did that for you. He doesn't live on the 25th floor. If he lives on the 25th floor, So that's what the Tanaim refer to as ner le'echad, ner le'meya. If a non-Jew is going to light, whether there's one person needs light or 100 people need light, either way, you got to turn lights. So that's ner for one, ner for 100. If he did it for himself and for me, it's the same as doing it for himself. He would have done it for himself anyways. There's no added act in lighting a light for more than one person. So if we're both going to the 25th floor and he presses 25, assuming my elevator is kosher in terms of how it operates, it's good. But chances of it, you're going to run into a lot of issues. So to rely on, I'm going to finagle with someone else in the elevator, could end up, over the course of time, your system is probably going to break down. So that's, but in any case, let's come back to our point. Point being, the shvus b'malka mitzvah is not something you can rely on every time. So too here, Maharit would not allow you to say every single week, the Nachri will put my food on the fire. That's wrong. But Marit says, but every once in a while, you should take care of yourself. Good. Every once in a while, I forgot. I got distracted. Or I thought, or maybe more guests showed up. I thought you only needed one tray of chicken. It turned out I thought you only need one pot of chow. We need two, whatever it is. So I'll ask him, could you take more cooked food out of the fridge and put it on? Give it all the...
And that's asking directly?
Asking directly. If you have one of the heterim, I'm sure there's recommends. Well, it's not only matir hana, it's also matir amira. So that's what the Maharit says. Now the problem is, Ramah doesn't quote him, the Taz doesn't quote him, the Ram doesn't quote him. He's like disappeared. Maharit lived not long before the Mahar Ramah. Lived in like the 1400s, early 1500s, I believe, lived in Turkey. So question, well, where did he go? He makes a good point. Charetz. On an occasional basis, that should be mutter.
Isn't that a little bit of a stretch of like
owning,
though?
Oh, what?
I mean,
makom mitzvah
in the sense that you
want to
have
owning? Yeah, that's a legitimate makom mitzvah, like we talked about before, turning the lights. Turning the lights, again, it's important to not take this and run with it. Because the fact that I've been missing one kugel, to say that's a violation of Shabbat is a little difficult. I was saying before, let's say you have no hot food for Shabbos. You have nothing hot for the Shabbos day Suda because you left it off. Or let's say you have more guests than you thought. You had two kugels in the oven. You had two kugels, you made two kugels there for Shabbos, you put one aside for later in the week. I did extra chicken in the fridge. And then it turns out you miscalculate how many guests are coming. So that's the significant on a Shabbos. What, you're gonna start rationing food? No, so that's, or you have no hot food for Shabbos? In that case, where there's a real, it has to be a real tzorach. Not that I only have the salt and pepper kugel, but I don't have the sweet kugel. It's hard to say, again, those people are very, very finicky. It's hard to say that's really a violation on a Shabbos. But maybe avodas hamusar is necessary in that case. But let's say it's legitimate. I'm not going to have enough hot food. I'm not going to have any hot food. Bar Mitzvah says, look, on an occasional basis, Shrosh Vakam Mitzvah, tell the Nachri to do hachzara for you. But it doesn't get quoted by the classic by the next century of Poskim. So what happened? So the Chazon Ish makes the following suggestion. I believe Rav Schechter quotes this in his article. I think did not see it there. I did not look inside recently, but I believe it's there. There's an article about Malachas Rabbanim versus Gzeres Rabbanim. So I believe it's in that article. He quotes his Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish said, "Let me tell you why." The Maharit doesn't get quoted by the Ramah, the Taz, and the Magen Avraham. It's because the Maharit is a Sephardi, and what he says only works according to the Sephardi approach. Why? To Hachazar. Maharit's heter is based on the Sephardi understanding of Hachazar. How so? He says like this. He says, am I allowed to ask? I'm going to tell his example. Midrabbanan, you're allowed to use medication on Shabbos. Israbbanan refu of Shabbos, Mishnayos. I think the end of the 16th paragraph or so, somewhere around there, 14th paragraph, the end of the 14th paragraph. I think that's where it is. Now I'll allow you to do refu of Shabbos. A concern, Shema Yitzchak, right? Shema Yitzchak, Yitzchak. You may end up, if you're allowed to apply medication, if you don't have the right stuff. So then you may end up wanting to make your own, which in ancient times, occasionally in modern times, much more in ancient times, involved grinding. Grinding the malacha d'raisa. If you're allowed to use medication, you may end up violating tochen. Okay? So Chazal said, Gzeir Meshav Tochen, you cannot use medication unless the need is great enough. If the person is, the two main heterim are chola and derech brim. Chola means chola she'en bo sakana. Yesh bo sakana, of course. If the chola she'en bo sakana, if someone's really ill, he can't function normally, he's bedridden, something of that sort, so then he's allowed to take medication. A headache that's bad enough that I need to lie down, it can't function, so then you're allowed to take Motrin. It's dumb. I have a headache. I don't feel so comfortable, but I'm going to move on with my day. So then I'll feel a little schleppy. So then you're not allowed to take the Motrin. But if it's whole shame of sakana, mutter, or if it's derech brim. Derech brim means that I'm doing some, my kavana in doing this activity is therapeutic, but it's the sort of thing that some people do on an everyday basis anyhow. I have a sore throat, a bad cough, so I'll have hot tea with lemon and honey. Some people have hot tea with lemon and honey every day. That's literally machal brim, something that healthy people might eat. People enjoy tea. I enjoy tea. I know a lot of people enjoy tea. Even if right now my kavana is only I'm having it to help my soothe my throat, and even if I don't like tea, but that's the sort of thing that people do. So that should, that's machal brim, that's fine. Okay, but if it's not machal brim, and it's just mechush b'yama, it's an ache, but not real chol hashem bo sakana, then it is forbidden to take medication on Shabbos. I can't swallow it, I can't rub it on my skin, whatever it is, forbidden on Shabbos. How about to have a nachri do it for me? How about to have a nachri do it for me? I'm feeling uncomfortable. I have a headache. I don't need to lie down. I mean, I'd love to lie down, but I could get through the day with that. I could get through the day. I'm not a chola. Is it impacting my own Shabbos? Yes. I don't feel great. I definitely would feel a lot better if I'd be able to enjoy. I would be able to do a Shabbos food a lot more if I didn't have this headache. But I can sit the Shabbos food. I can get through the day. So am I allowed to ask a nachri? So why don't I ask a nachri? Taking for me, okay, ask a nachri to take a Motrin. No, but let's say it's some sort of oil that you're rubbing to my skin. So for me to rub the oil to my skin, it's a drabanan. Have a nachri rub it into my skin. So that's a shvus to shvus, but makam on a b'makam mitzvah. Shai? Why not? No. Yeah. So the answer is exactly. So the answer is shvus to shvus works because by having the nachri do it, it's a less of an avera than my doing it. Right. So. If I turn on the electric, I turn on the LED light, that's an Issa Drabanan. If the Nachri turns it on, that's a double, it's a lesser Issa. But that's true where the Issa is doing the action. So you have a Malacha Drabanan, turn on the lights and presuming Malacha Drabanan. Right? So if I do a Malacha Drabanan, that's an act, which is Asim Drabanan. If he does it, I didn't even do it, it's just an issue of having him do it. That's a double drama. But it's not that putting on medication is a gzeira shem you'll come to tchina. So it could be just as usher to have the medication applied to me as to do it myself. Once you're dealing with a gzeira, gzeiros can be potentially just isure heftza or isure totza. It's just an usher to have a certain situation because that situation may lead me to do an isser, do a malacha daraisa. Whenever it's a malacha drabanan, malacha is an isser maasa. So malacha drabanan means is an isser maasa midrabanan. So if the nachri is doing it, it's not the same as my doing it. But if it's a gzeira, gzeiras will often be isure matzav. Also just be usher to have such a situation. So to get such a result, Isra Totsah, to get such a result, whether I did the Maisa or not. So then it doesn't, whether, if I have a Nachri do it on my behalf, it might be the same, it's not Shuas to Shuas, that's just a Shuas. The famous Rekiva Eger declares about, can I set up a Kinyan about Kinyan B'Shabbos. To do a Kinyan B'Shabbos is Asum Drabanan, Gzeir Rishon Mekachu Memkar. If I buy something in Shabbos, that's not an act of Kosei Midrabanan, but we're concerned. If I do a Kinyan Shabbos, I may come to, you often have receipts, so I may come to write or print a receipt. So the question of Kiv Eger Klaus, can I do a Kinyan L'Achar Zman, where the Mice is on Friday, but the Chalos is on Shabbos? It came up, back in the old days, used to come up, if Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos, can I do Mechiras Chametz with the Nachri to be Chal only on Shabbos? So we want to still be able to eat the Chametz Friday night, and then we'll do the Kinyan Erev Shabbos, tell them it will only take effect tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. So the Maisi king is Erev Shabbos, but the Chalis king is on Shabbos. Is that a violation of Kinyan? Is it Issa the Maisa or is it Issa the Chalos? Whether I'm active or not. It comes up nowadays that Shaila B'Kiri Gishan comes up with eBay. Let's say, am I allowed to bid on an auction that's going to close on Shabbos? You have to figure out legally, when does it become mine? Is that the Kinyan? Or is it just, now we've agreed, but I think you have to figure out how do we assume on that the Shaiva Kivager? That's an interesting question. So because it highlights also the fact that when you deal with a Gezeira Drabbanan as opposed to a Malacha Drabbanan, that's where I shecht to one to the main Yesodos in that piece, in Bikvat Zon, about Gezeiras and Malachos, that Malacha Drabbanan is always going to be in a Sermasa, but a Gezeira Drabbanan, it could be in a Sermasa, but entirely possible that it'll be an Isser Totsah, in which case I can violate it, Bishav Valtasa, which is why the Chazon Ish says that the Ramah, the Taz, the Magen Avraham, did not quote this Maharit. Maharit was a Sfardi. He followed the Sfardi approach to Hachazar. That's a Malacha Drabana. It's a type of, it's a Drabana violation of Bishal. So if a Jew does it, he violates Drabbanan. If a Jew asks a non-Jew to do it, at that double Drabbanan, so that's Mutter Ramakam Mitzvah, on an occasional basis, Ramakam Mitzvah. Whereas, according to the approach of Bali Atosvos, that Hachazara is like Shehiya, it's also Shem Yechata B'Gechalim, so that it's entirely likely that Hachazara is also whether I did it or he did it. I'm not allowed to have food put back on the fire on Shabbos. Whether it's not just I can't put it back, I cannot have it put back on the fire. So that's why number one, Shvus to Shvus, B'makamitzah is not going to work. Because to ask the Nachri to do it is the same as Rabbanon is doing it myself. It doesn't drop it down a level. Number two, that's why I believe that the thing Chaznish says, that's why, let's say I didn't even ask. I just walk in the house, and it turns out that the Nachri had decided to be a good Samaritan. He noticed that the fire food wasn't on the fire. He put it on the fire. He knew that I'm Jewish, I can't put it on. So he decided, he's a good friend, he decided to put on the fire for me. Very sweet. But according to Ashkenazim, you have to immediately remove it. Because allowing it to remain there is a violation of Hachazara. Because it's not the act of Bishul, the act of putting it on, it's being on. Since it's Xera, it can be Nisir Totsah. And number three, that's why there might even be a problem doing it Ali Yedei Shabbos clock. That is, to put the food onto the cold stove and then the Shabbos clock turns it on 10 minutes later. I'm gonna have a electric electric element. Electric range, right? And meant for not a Shabbos clock. Either it's adjustable or it's something you can cook on. They make those. So you can electric elements you can cook on. You plug it in, you can cook on it. So that's not a Shabbos clock. That's a Hachazara problem. But instead of just plugging into wall before Shabbos, I'll plug into Shabbos clock. I'll set the Shabbos clock to go on at 11 o'clock in the morning. So once it's on, obviously I can't put the food on the heat. But I'll put the food on the heat on 10:30. It's still cold. It's totally cold. I put it down. Half hour later, the Shabbos clock turns on the heat. So according to this approach to the Chazon Ish, that's a problem. It's like asking an Achri to do it. It's not a Mir L'Achri problem. It's a Hachazara problem. And I have a system whereby the food will end up on being put back on the fire on Shabbos. You know, I didn't do a Maisa. You can't say I did a Maisa Hachazara. When I did it, it was fine. But that's potentially a problem. So that's one set of That's one set of nafkaminas. One overall nafkamina is a chumrah for a chumrah by Balei HaTosfos that all these situations of doing hachazar b'sheva al tasa, essentially. Can I passively violate hachazar? So according to Balei HaTosfos, according to Chachmei Sfarim, no. It's a melacha d'rabbana. And therefore, I can only violate actively, which is why the Maharit said, you're not allowed to normally ask a guy to do a chazara for you, but on an occasional basis, if you need it for onik shabbos, is this shmos to shmos to malka mitzvah? Whereas Chachmei Ashkenaz would reject that because it's Isser b'shev al ta, it's Isser totzah, and therefore asking nachri doesn't help. Okay. And that's what they said also what? They said also, if the nachri put it on, you have to take it off, and even to do it via Shabbos clock is potentially a problem. Once you buy into the idea that it's aser to, it's an iser totzah, so it's conceivable that even if I have an electronic system which is taking care of it for me, yeah, but lemaisa the hachazara is being done. Just like it would be aser for me to take medication via Shabbos clock. How is that possible? If you have a needle in you, probably you're real chola. But let's say you have a heating pad. So say if I have a very bad back, or I really have my knee is in very bad shape, and I can't walk around the way I normally do. I need the heat to sort of, I just can't walk. I sprained an ankle, whatever it is, and it's such that I can't walk there I normally do, and I need the heating pad just to sort of get myself back in the game. That's sort of chol. But no, stop, it's aching. It'll be more comfortable with the heating pad. So that's not something that people do normally. Well, most people don't normally use heating pads unless there's a problem. So a heating pad l'chora is a problem for food shops. But for me to, even if it's a left arm from before Shabbos, I'm going to take it, lie down the heating pad, that's refuah. How about if I'm not going to lie down the heating pad? I'm going to put on a Shabbos clock. So the heating pad is going to go on at 10:30 p.m. I'm going to lie down in bed at 10:15. And then it's going to kick on 15 minutes later. So I'm not doing any maisa. Right? But since it's an Isser Totzah, it's an Isser B'Shev Al Tasa, so even to apply refuah al yidei Shabbos clock would be problematic as well. So that's one major set of nafkaminas. And in that, the Balei HaTosfos would be machmir, and the Chachmei Sfarim would be mekel. Yeah.
Is this kufuah to machmir at the end of a sifah?
What do you mean?
Then it talks about if a nachri put something on the... a nachri is allowed to put something on the tonneau b'sechorah and then turn tonneau b'sechorah on. But you're not allowed to put something on the tonneau b'sechorah and then have the nachri put it on. Right? That's what the Rama says.
From that it seems...
You're
saying he's allowed to, you're allowed to have the food right on, even though you know that he's going to come. He's going to turn the
other...
You're not allowed to do that.
You're not allowed to do it yourself. You're allowed to have
a nachri
do it.
No, because you have food in the oven, and then they want to turn it on, so
they're not going to burn the food. They take the food out, they just put it on top, then they turn on the oven, and then have it to warm it up. They just put it there because,
so the nachri is allowed to do that.
But the whole reason he's turning
on
the fire is because...
But no, he's turning on the fire to keep the house warm. Right. That we said before, that's hakol chol
meitzatzina. Right. And the food just happens to be there. It's like...
Right. Even in that case, you're not allowed to do it, and
you can't put it there first and then have them come and turn it off.
Right.
And the other nafkamina, is a case where things are flipped. I mean, the other nafkamina is a chumrah on the part of Chachmei Sfarad. I mentioned before that in terms of smicha, lismoch, mahu lismoch, right? So he said, you ought to do, you can't put agave esh, you can have it next to the fire. The Gemara says that in what context? Before I begin with Parakira, the context of shehiyah. Right? I'm allowed to, without grufa ketuma, I'm still allowed to leave the food from Erev Shabbos on the counter next to the fire. How about hachazara? So we've been assuming hachazara is also mutter al yidei smicha, like the put the food on the radiator in the dorm room on Shabbos morning, assuming it's fully cooked and dry. That's true. That's mutter for Ashkenazim, but not for Lufi Chachmei Sfarad. Why? Also, a nafkamina in this, because Ashkenazim say it's a problem of because Ashkenazim say good. Grufa Ketuma is not going to solve your hachazara to the same extent as solve your shiya. But if it's only smicha, if it's not even al gabi ha'esh, then already even the concern of chitoy by hachazara is already. You're not even on the fire. Not that you're on the fire is covered. You haven't put it on the fire, put it next to the fire. They're already, the baitosis say, even by hachazara, where there is a heightened concern of shamiyachata, but if it's just, you know, besamach and not al gabi ha'esh, we're no longer worried about shem yechata, and that's why we hold, we Ashkenazim hold that to do not only shehiya but hachazara off the fire is mutter. We discussed last time how you define off the fire. If it's on the blech, maybe if it's one big blech on the across the stovetop, then already where most are machmir anywhere where it's. You get the atzalatus bow, it's considered to be al gabi esh. But to put it on the counter next to it, that's fine. Whereas the Chachmei Sfarad say, not so fast. Particularly if it's a spot where it can get the atzalatus bow, Chachmei Sfarad say, it's a problem. Why? Because excuse me. Because the Chachmei Sfarad hold that Hachazara is not merely Shem Yechate. Hachazara is Mechzik Mabasha. Hachazara is the Bishul Drabanan. So whether you're doing your Bishul Drabanan Al Gabehesh or Besomach Leish, I say either way, that is the problem. I think I misspoke before. I said the Chachmei Sfarad, but this is the accurate version. That the Chachmei Sfarad would say that Lismoch makes a Mutter by Shehiyah. That was the Gemara Shiloh. But Lismoch, we're not making mutter by Hachazara because it's a problem of it's a quasi bishul. But we pass like the Chachmei Ashkenaz that Lismoch makes a mutter by both Shehiyah and Hachazara because the Chachmei Ashkenaz's assumption that both Shehiyah and Hachazara are just different flavors of the concern of Shanachat B'Khalim, and therefore they both yield to the solution of just get off, don't be al Gavi Ha'esh, and then you'll be fine. Grufa Ketuma only solves Shehiyah and Hachazara, but Shelo al Gabi Ha'esh, Smicha, will solve both Shehiyah and Hachazara. Question. In other words, you're allowed to do Shehiyah b'smicha, you're also allowed to do Hachazara b'smicha. They agree by Shehiyah, I don't think they agree by Hachazara.
Where
Chachmei Sfarad would say, I'll do this.
Why?
Assuming you can get the Asalaz, bro. I know Shem al Gabi Ha'esh. This goes back to really chaburs we had in the first half of the year. And when you deal with actual bishul, so I don't care whether al Gabi Ha'esh or al Gabi Ha'esh. Right? It can be told that Ur is also presumably bishul Daraisa. There's no fire at all. I have the pan, I put the pan in the fire, I take the pan out of the fire, I put the pan down on the counter. And I crack the eggs in the pan. Bishul Daraisa. So the whole notion of al gabi ha'esh, the whole notion of al gabi ha'esh is relevant once you're talking about shem yechata. Yeah. Kedera, al gabi kedera. There, even the Chachmei Sfarad makel, because that's also not nechzi kimavasha. It's neither. It's not shem yechad b'chol. And Willock has a chumra. He thinks that you should have keder agave blech. You still have to have a blech because you still need to deal with your shem yechad b'chol issue. And then, in terms of what's it called? In terms of nechzi kimavasha, you put it on top of the pot. That's not nechzi kimavasha. But the smicha is not necessarily quite the same. The shem yechate is resolved, but lav dafka will mechzi kimavashel be resolved just because you moved it over a few inches. Yeah.
So last week or whenever you had a glass of oil, you said that a quarter of Vadia, as long as it's in, on top of a glass, it's considered samach.
And it's on top of a blach. Yeah, he thinks that like a real sheet of metal is more, is different than the, just a layer of ash that Chazal were talking about. A layer of ash is still a gabe ash, but right. But the sheet of metal already is sort of like, it's a...
It's no longer mefik mevasel? Just a sheet of metal?
That, it's the equivalent of... I think it's for him. It's the equivalent of keder l'gav keder. Yeah, right. I see where you're going. Right,
that,
he's a smart.
I don't know, but I would think that just on top of a blach, it's kind of mafik kibbutz. No.
Did you ever see someone cook on a blach?
I'm
going
around
looking,
but
only
electric.
No.
Electric,
okay. No. I mean, again, if you have a glass top electric stove. That's meant for cooking, and that's taka, not a blech. You would need to put something over that.
Right.
And by the way, I learned from experience, do not put a sheet of aluminum foil on a glass cooktop. It's very, very difficult to remove. Let's say you end up in a hotel room. So you figure out, I'll just cover with aluminum foil so that I don't have to have Akasha's problems. Don't use aluminum foil. You can use wood, it's going to be fused. Right, you can use like a cookie tin. That won't stick, but aluminum foil will. That's fine if it's your stovetop, but if it's in a hotel room, so Jews believe in both keeping both Ben Chaveras and Ben Lamakim. That's, I think, one of the meta lessons of his 32nd on the Parsha, one of the meta lessons of Parsha's Kedoshim. The organization of Parshas Kedoshim is incredibly difficult to make out. The first Parsha of Kedoshim just seems like almost like a random flow of mitzvahs. Ben Chaver, Ben Lamakim, Zroim, and Kutchim, and everything. What's that? You open Achrimos, you could see where things are going. Like, even beyond the Avos Yom Kippur, the next couple of Parshas also sort of hang, flow very smoothly on Avos Yom Kippur. Kedoshim, it's all over the place. So, L'chora, that's exactly the point. L'chora, the Torah is telling us that to be Kadosh requires the whole prescription. You cannot be Kadosh with only Ben Amal Chaveras, you cannot be Kadosh with only Ben Amal Makos, you cannot be Kadosh with only these mitzvahs have to do with Eretz Yisrael, you cannot be Kadosh with only mitzvahs that don't have to do with Eretz Yisrael, you cannot be Kadosh only with Karbanos. You need the full package. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave his Tarek Mitzvahs, and Kedusha comes from embracing... Of course, everyone has weaknesses. Different people have different weaknesses. And that's perhaps one of the themes of the end, the Sefer at the end of Kedoshim. Different people have different weaknesses. Everyone has Yitzhu Hara. So it may be that I sometimes stumble and fall, and I stumble and fall in some areas more than the others, because this Aver is more attractive to me than that one is. But Kedusha will come from working hard at excelling in the full package. That it could be, perhaps, that's dafka why the Torah is perhaps intentionally random. It's not coincidental randomness, perhaps it's intentional randomness. That's the point that Rosh Hashanah is trying to make. You need the whole mix. You need the whole chant. Otherwise it's gamished. Otherwise you have kept, look, if I keep certain mitzvahs, I have been mekayim those mitzvahs. The kedusha I will not have unless number one, it's not mutter to only keep certain mitzvahs, but whatever mitzvahs I did do, I certainly get a kiyum for. But kedusha will come from the full recipe.
And why? How do these like they have like a little electric burner, like that big?
Yeah.
That doesn't look like a
what? A little. Those are mamish made for cooking.
I know, but it looks like a
what?
No.
No. You're putting the cart before the horse. A blech works because it doesn't look like the normal stove. Right? Now, going back to Chazal's example, was I'm going to sprinkle ash on top of the coals. So I have a whole layer of ash on the coals. That's not the way an oven or a stove normally looks. So I put something, and it's something that does...
So even if an abnormal oven, we don't care. Normal.
That's the oven. Our ovens, our gas ranges will look very strange to the Chachmei HaTalmud. What does it matter? But right now, this is a normal oven. So you have to make a shino. You have to have a heker. So if I take a blech and I put it on top of the electric cooktop, okay, that's already doesn't fit in. But if it's the normal situation, there's no heker. I have to have heker. Again, we spoke about it. Rav Moshe Feinstein held the heker is primarily at the heat source, and Aaron Cutler, and I believe the Rav also held that the heker is primarily at the adjustment point. Right? So, but whatever it is, heker means there's something that's abnormal, something out of place. That's what heker means. Other situations also. Heker, in let's say in one person's eating fleishik, another person's eating milchik. So that's siman peches in Yeridaya, based on Mishnayos in the eighth parak of Chulin. We don't allow two people to eat within arm lengths of each other. One's eating milchik, one's eating fleishik, unless there's some sort of heker, something that doesn't belong on the table. That's going to remind us that this is out of place. That's something. It remind us don't grab a piece of his corned beef because you're eating pizza. Okay, I promised we would end with the warming jars. Let's talk about the warming jars for a couple of minutes. I had the chance to speak to several of the poskim in our yeshiva. I did not have a chance to speak to Rabbi Willick, but my impression is as follows. The impression is as follows that there is a difference of opinion among the poskim in our yeshiva in terms of warming jars. There are several potential problems, and different postcards concern different problems. As far as I can tell, I did not confirm this directly to Rabbi Willig, but from what I could tell, it seems like Rabbi Willig is makel on using warm drugs even for hachazara under certain circumstances. The problems that get raised with the warming drawers, number one, it's adjustable. So it's not like a even according to Poskim or Makel on the non-adjustable plata, but warming drawers tend to be adjustable.
There's a knob?
There's a knob. Yeah, it's not just an on-off switch, it's a knob. So then already, it's al-gabe ha'esh. So even if you're going to put a blech in, you figure out how you're going to put a blech in. You're going to put a blech across the bottom, or across the element. But that would allow Shehiya, that would not allow Hachazara. So some are concerned with the fact that if it's adjustable, so it's no better than Hachazara, then the Sina Mechadish, maybe you could take it off, put it back in, but the new Sina Mechadish would be a problem on Shabbos. Some are concerned the fact that it's Latoch Hatanur, and therefore, maybe even with Adio Dato Hachzer, I should not be allowed to do it. Because it's not on top of, it's not a Algabe, it's Latoch. And we saw that's more Chamur. And a third issue that gets raised is the thermostat issue. That by opening and closing, you introduce cold air, which may kick it on. So some poskim are... Probably not, since it's not in contact with the walls of the. It's not directly touching. Nothing is touching. Hatzmona is only aser. I spoke in the past. Hatzmona is only aser when it's number one in the kli shonas bad. It has to be in the kli rishon, and it has to be that the davar hamatman is in direct contact with it. And number three, that's covered. Some rishonim say rov, and many say all covered all around. Here it's not even covered at all. Here it is surrounded, but it's not in contact. And number four, it's only usher if it's either on Shabbos or before Shabbos, but most of heaven. Okay, so the cut back here, it's probably not a Hatzmana problem, but it might be a Hachazara problem. And also, some posts are worried about the thermostat issue. Some posts are not worried about the thermostat issue. The reason not to worry about the thermostat issue is if you're not so sure that if opening, closing, and introducing some cold air may or may not kick off the thermostat, then it may be a davar shein miskaven. If you know betach, I'm going to open and it's going to go on, that's probably a psik reshe, which is a problem. But if I open and close, it may or may not. I'm not trying to turn the thermostat. I'm just trying to get food out. Particularly if I'm opening it and taking everything out, If I'm putting it in, okay, maybe it'll. So then maybe Dovr Shein was coming. So those are the issues that get raised. So many poskim are uncomfortable with putting food into a warming drawer on Shabbos. There are more who, some are comfortable using it from before Shabbos, leaving it from before Shabbos, taking out, but because you could solve some of these are only Hachazar problems, not Shehir problems. I did not directly speak to Rav Willig, but speaking to others, looking at the Sefer, my impression is that under certain circumstances, he would be makel on even putting food into warm and drawn Shabbos. As far as I can tell, it's as follows. In terms of that he's, assuming you can get rid of the adjustability, he sees it as fundamentally the same. That's my impression, again, I would love to confirm with him. My impression is that he sees it fundamentally as the same as a non-adjustable plata. Assuming you can get rid of the adjustability, meaning it's not Mexican, it is not meant for cooking. After all, that's what they call it, a warming drawer. So the fact says closed, but Lamaisa, but it's not Hachazar. I think my understanding is, again, I'm not sure, but my understanding of what Rabbi Willig calls is it's not Hachazar at all. This is not Hachazar al Gabe Eish. This is just not Hachazar because it's not. Hachazar al Gabe Eish means you're putting a spot that's meant for cooking. This is not a spot that's meant for cooking. This is a spot meant for keeping things warm or getting things warm. It's not. You don't put raw chicken in a warming drawer to cook it. You don't put raw potatoes in a warming drawer to turn them into potato kernel. You have food that's already prepared. The warming drawer keeps it warm. The warming drawer warms it up. But that's all that's meant for. The adjustability. So one way what you need to do is to render it non-adjustable. So how do you render it non-adjustable? So one thing you could do is you could just take a pair of pliers and take off the knob. You might not want to do that if you're going to want to adjust it on Friday. And you're worried that taking off the knob, depending on how it's made, taking off the knob may ruin the whole thing or not. Also, maybe I don't even own the warming drawer. Let's say I borrowed it from the caterer, so I don't have the right to ruin his warming drawer. So what am I to do? This is where Willis develops this idea that he has in the Sefer. The Gemara talks about plaster it over. Sometimes if you plaster it over, then that's a more thorough solution to the problem of Shem Yechad. Tuach petit. So Willis understands that if I would put on layers of tape in a way over the knob, stop to cover the knob, so that's gufa ketuma. But that's not going to make it mutter alone. He says, but tuach petit, not that you're going to take cement and put it on your knob. He says, if you have several layers of tape put on in a way, you can't just rip it all off at one time. It would require several different motions to pull off like this, pull off this piece, pull off that piece. But that he thinks is the equivalent to tuach petit. I think some assume that if I'm not familiar with the details, I think there are warming drawers where they have this Shabbos mode where it's complicated. It turns the screen off. It turns the buttons off. And the only way to get it on is you have to, I think, press a certain combination of buttons, hold them for several seconds, and then it knocks out of the Shabbos mode. So that might also perhaps be the equivalent. Where I don't know where Rabbi Willig's position is on that, but that perhaps also is the equivalent of tuach petit. And I set it up in a way that would be very, it would be complicated. Press the multiple buttons to hold them for several seconds. I can't just, you know, flip up the cover and go in. It's more than just gufa ketuma. That's really the equivalent of tuach petit. So again, I'm not certain, but I did not have a chance. I was not able to directly confirm this Rabbi Willig. But my impression is that if you handle the adjustability, and it's only meant for warming, it's not something you can cook in. So then, assuming that's something, not really something you can cook in, is it something meant for warming? And you've thoroughly, in a thorough way undone the adjustability, that would be mutter. Many disagree with that, certainly. So you have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi what the approach should be to that issue.